in our lesson, this is lesson 10. So lesson 11 goes, it's the sister lesson to this. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Micah chapter 6. We'll read verses 1 through 8. But the goal of this study would be, or what we should know after we study this, is know how the Bible defines justice and being able to distinguish between the biblical model of justice and secular counterfeits. Now, everybody wants justice, okay? Everyone wants justice. But a lot of the justice out there in the world isn't biblical justice. Most of it's to promote their own identity politics or their own racial narrative that they're trying to push. Also, we need to recognize significant ways that the culture has distorted biblical justice. And then lastly, after we get done, it'll take us a couple of weeks to get through this, establish a biblical framework for justice and understand the practical results of exercising biblical justice. So if you have your Bibles in Micah chapter 6, and we will read verses 1 through 8. And hear ye now what the Lord saith, arise and contend thou before the mountains, and let the hills hear thy voice. Hear ye, you mountains, the Lord's controversy, and ye strong foundations of the earth. For the Lord hath controversy with his people, and he will plead with Israel. O my people, what have I done unto thee, and wherein have I wearied thee, testified against me? For I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt, and redeemed thee out of the house of the servants, and sent before thee Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what Balak, king of Moab, consulted, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him out of Shittim unto Gilgal, that may know the righteousness of the Lord. Wherewith shall I come before thee and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with 1,000 rams or 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Now this is our capital verse that we're going to be teaching on, preaching on through this, which is a great, great verse. And that is verse 8 of Micah chapter 6. He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. Father, we do thank you again for your people. We thank you for the great week we've had this past week with the missions commitments, with the missionaries being here and the preachers and the preaching and the pastor's fellowship and all the servants being here, and Lord, and everyone being involved. And Lord, we just step back and give you all the glory, honor, and praise. Lord, as we get back to our study here, I pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts, be with our visitors during this time, and Lord, be with the families here this morning that are in need of help, Lord, and there might be some hurting today. And Lord, we must stop and pause and say, if there's anyone here, Lord, that's never trusted you as Savior, that today would be the day of salvation. Speak to your people as only you can. In your name, Christ, we pray. Amen. So just by the way of introduction, again, back to Micah 6:8. He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and love work mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. If you're in a habit of underlining your Bible and you've never really seen that verse, you need to really, if you can, make note of that. Because that is a tremendous Old Testament verse. Micah was a minor prophet. Well, I'll just go over that a little bit, and I'll come back to the verse. So the words here were spoken by the prophet Micah, and the same Micah through whom God prophesied that Christ himself would, the ultimate just ruler, would be born in Bethlehem found in Micah 5:2. Micah was a prophet at the same time as Isaiah from 736 BC to 700 BC. He served the nation throughout the reigns of three kings, Jotham, Ahaziah, and Hezekiah. Throughout Micah's ministry, the nation was on a spiritual roller coaster. Jotham led the people in the worship of God. Ahaziah led them into the most vile pagan forms of idolatry, including offering his own children as human sacrifice. And Hezekiah led the nation back to God in a national spiritual revival. Throughout this time period, the Assyrian army assaulted and defeated Judah's sister kingdom, Israel, and took the people as slaves. Some years later, Babylon emerged as the world power and conquered Judah, bringing the people into captivity. Meanwhile, however, Judah continued her downward trend away from God and, not coincidentally, away from justice. The prophet Isaiah, a contemporary of Micah, described the situation in vivid language. In Isaiah chapter 59:14, "And the judgment is turned way backwards, and the justice standeth afar, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter." Well, now we know that could be said of the United States of America at this time. Let me go on a little bit here, and we see it was in this context that God, through the prophet Micah, summons his people to court. The verses we just read, verses 1 through 8, would be a court scene. You would see that in Micah 6, that God declares his controversy with Judah in a spectacular outdoor courtroom in which he calls on the mountains themselves to hear his pleas with his people. Verse 2 of the text we read in Micah 6, "Hear ye, O mountains, the Lord's controversy, ye strong foundations of the earth. For the Lord hath a controversy with his people, and he will plead with Israel." He then questions Judah as how he was wrong them, or why they would turn from him when he has been so good to them. He describes how he brought them up out of the land of Egypt and led them into the promised land. Verses 3 and 4, "O my people, what have I done unto thee? Wherein have I wearied thee and testified against thee? For I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt," incidentally 400 years of bondage, "and redeemed thee out of the house of servants." They were slaves there for 400 years. "And sent thee before Moses and Aaron and Miriam." I like how he adds Miriam. The reason it's kind of struck me is because I'm writing my daily Bible reading. I'm reading in Numbers, and which accounts all this, all the Old Testament wanderings. And I just got finished reading, I believe it was yesterday, about the death of Miriam. So Micah, serving in a word picture as a litigator, answers on behalf of the nation. But Micah doesn't offer a defense. There was none. Rather, he offers a series of questions regarding how Judah should respond to God's goodness towards the nation. Now we see that in verse 6 and 7. Wherewith shall I come before thee and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with 1,000 rams or 10,000 rivers of oil? And right here where he says, "Shall I give my firstborn for my transgressions?" In other words, human sacrifice, "the fruit of my body for the sins of my soul?" All of these, the national depravity and the absence of judgment, God pleads with the nation to return to him. And Micah questions how to respond to God. And he leads us to verse 8. "He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with thy God." These words were God's answers to Micah's questions. What should be our response to God's goodness? To do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with thy God. And I'm not the only one that feels as a preacher that this verse is important for modern day Christianity. Matter of fact, there's been a lot of not only Christian scholars, but other scholars. One rabbi said that you could sum up the whole law in this verse. If you think about it, he's right. Years ago, I committed this verse to memory. There's actually a great song. I heard it sung at a Bible. Have you ever sung the song? It's a great song. We ought to sing it someday. And I heard it at a Bible college, and the Bible students of the Bible college were singing the song. And I don't want to try to imitate that in one way, any shape, but it's a great verse. He has showed thee, O man, what is good. What does the Lord require of thee but to do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with thy God? I don't know if you're in a habit of having a favorite verse in the Bible. You might have a favorite New Testament verse. My favorite verse of all is 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. I've committed that to memory early in my Christianity. Within the first year, after I got saved, I found that verse. And I said, well, that's my story. I'm under new management. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. I actually went as far as I got connected with Bible Antiquities, Jewel Smith. He's in heaven now, but he used to travel the country, and what Jewel Smith would do, he would travel the world and he would buy Bibles, Geneva Bibles, any of the old Bibles, and he had a real awesome library and a display. He actually had a first edition King James 1611 pulpit Bible. And if you know anything about them Bibles, they were huge. They were real big. Pages are about like this. And anyways, through him, I was able to purchase out of a King James 1611 Bible the page that has my life's verse on it. And you say, well, why would they be taking these Bibles apart? Well, a lot of Bibles that Jewel Smith bought and other biblical antiquity dealers would buy are Bibles that would be partials, because a lot of them were like burnt. Half of them would be burnt and so on and so forth. And they're very expensive to get the page. I don't know what I paid. I paid under $600 for my page, but it's probably worth a lot more now. But it's just an average page. But they say like the cover page the page of Psalms 23 is just tens of thousands of dollars. The page that has John 3:16 on it, so on and so forth. But as the years went, I mean, that's always been my verse. I love that verse. I don't know if I'm gonna die. You know, well, that's 100%. Death is undefeated. Amen. We're all gonna die, right? But before Christ comes back, if the rapture comes, and I do have to get some resurrection ground, I'd hinted to my wife that maybe. Maybe put that on my epitaph or my tombstone. And she might have other words that she wants to put on, I don't know. But the thing is, it's important to have the Word of God and certain portions of Scripture. So if I had an Old Testament verse, it would be this verse. It would be this verse. Because really, it kind of sums it up, man. I think every man should be familiar with this verse. Every man should, if the Lord wills it, if you have the mental capacity, is to memorize it. Because it really sums up what we should be as men. God says, he has showed thee, O man, what is good. So it's a good thing. This verse is good. The principles out of it is good. It's really the golden rule summed up in the Old Testament. You know, Jesus summed up all the commandments with what? Thou shalt love thy Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. So really, he summed up the whole law, right, into one verse or with two parts. You love God, right? If you think about it, it works. Amen. If we love God and love our neighbor as ourselves, we wouldn't have the problems we have today. I guess that's why they call it the golden rule, if we could live by that, right? We see here these three instructions are as relevant and needed today as they were in the 8th century BC. Despite the many calls for justice in our day, justice has been separated from truth. Even as it was in the time of Isaiah and Micah, remember, Isaiah was a contemporary prophet of Micah. When we separate justice from truth, truth has fallen in the street and justice gets trampled on also. Isaiah 59 verses 14 and 15, and the judgment is turned away backward and justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil make himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. Truth is fallen in the street. I know you've heard this, and you might hear it over and over again, that people say, well, truth to you is what you believe truth is. No, truth is Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The Bible's clear on it, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Amen. This Bible I hold in my hand is God's moral revelation to man. There's no middle ground. You either accept it or you reject it. I remember during an invitation when I was pastoring in Southern Idaho, as I was accustomed to at that time, I prayed and I said, is there anyone that wants to accept Christ? Raise your hand. This young man raised his hand. And I said, when he raised his hand, I said, look at me. And everyone else's head was bowed, just me and him. And he was looking at me. I said, do you believe this is God's word? He said, I do not. I said, sir, you cannot be saved. Amen. You have to believe that this is God's truth. And the best, I'm not saying that you have to understand it. All right. Because there's a lot of this great revelation I don't understand. But you have to accept it as truth. Amen. And the day we live in, everybody wants justice, right? But people disagree on what justice really means and how it should be applied. God's word allows us to cut through all the confusion. Biblical justice isn't about justice for one group or certain entities. It isn't about leveraging social buy-in to further a political strategy. It's about truth. It's about it's about relieving the oppressed. It's about equity. It's about helping. Amen. And it is to be deployed with what the verse says, mercy and humility. See, if you would just to take Micah 6:8 as your life rule, you know, what he says here, as God addresses the nation, he says, he has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of thee, but to do justly. Just do right. Amen? Just do right. He say it's not that easy. Well, it really is. Amen? Just do right. Do right. Be a model. Amen? You know, be a model of somebody that does right. You know, rather it's at the, if it's in the workplace, if you're an employee or an employer, you should just do right. One of the best discipleship studies I got is on employer and employee. We address the employer part of it, how he relates to his employees in doing right and just. And then also your job as an employee. If you've worked any time in the marketplace, secular marketplace, you will find that there's many that say, well, there's always an underlying current of between the workforce and the management at some level. it's always this. And I've worked on a lot of different jobs, and in the construction field and commercial refrigeration field. And there's been many times that I've been with guys and they said, well, I'm just going to take that, you know. They're always beating me up on my pay scale, this or that. Or on the other token, well, I'm not going to work as hard, you know. I was taught that you give 8 hours of work for 8 hours of pay.
Amen.
Period. Amen. And if you're supposed to be there at 7 o'clock in the morning, it's not 7:05.
That's right.
It's 7 o'clock. Amen.
Amen.
And just do right. Do right by your employer. You say, well, it's not fair. Well, if you've agreed to that, whatever your pay is, you agreed to that, you need to stand true to that. I'll tell you what, I haven't given up on sports, so I'm not going to stand here as a hypocrite, because I like it. There's certain sports I like. But I'll tell you what, it's disenchanting in watching these multi-million dollar athletes sign a contract for 5 years, and then in their second year of their contract, they want to renegotiate their contract because their buddy on another team has got 30 more million dollars in them. That's garbage. Stand true to your word. Amen?
Amen.
Do right. Do right. And that's all God's saying is to do justly. Just to do right. Amen? We're going to be plowing over this verse much in the next several weeks. All right? What's the second part? To love mercy. Jesus said in the Beatitudes what we ought to be. Amen? He says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. If you want mercy, and trust me, if you live any time on this planet, you're going to need it, because we don't know what's going to befall us tomorrow. But I say, let's make some deposits, amen? Let's be a people of mercy, amen? To love mercy. And then, this is probably the hardest part for the men in this room, and ladies to a certain extent, is to walk humbly with thy God. What's the opposite of humility? Yeah, well, pride. Proverbs says that only by pride cometh contention. And if you break that out and you really unpack what that simple phrase, only by pride cometh contention, that if you will sum up every problem on this planet and you were to dig down far enough, separate it, get down, say, what is really the problem? You're going to dig down, and you know what you're going to see staring up at you? You're going to see pride. Pride, because every man, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. The problems that we have today, if you were to boil them down and separate them all out, you're going to see that pride is the culprit. I want my way. You know, as I said, I've been in my Bible reading, I've been studying, you know, been reading and a lot on Moses. The Bible says that Moses was the meekest man that walked the face of the earth. Not that he didn't have his issues, amen? What happened? He wasn't able to go into the promised land. Why? The people broke him down. He said, hear ye, you rebels, shall we fetch you water out of this rock? And he hit the rock and the water came. You say, man, why'd God allow that to happen? Well, because God can hit some good licks with a crooked stick. He allowed the people, God's goal was to get the people watered, but God went to Moses and Aaron and he says, because you sanctified me not in front of the people, you shall not enter into the promised land. Because God told him, I want you to speak to the rock. Remember the first time he did that? Moses spoke to the rock and the water came out. God says, I want you to do it again. Speak to the rock. Amen. This time these people were really getting on Moses' nerves, right? They were breaking him down. And he had an anger moment. And it cost him the promised land. Amen. And if we were to be honest, our anger has cost us a lot. You know what I'm saying? But the point is, the Bible says that Moses was the most meekest, humblest man that walked the face of the planet. Why? Because he was always talking to God. You'll read about it when the people came to him, spoke of stoning him, saying, why'd you lead us into this wilderness to get us to die? They wanted to go back and be a slave. You know, they didn't like the diet. Amen. God gave them manna. every day, right? You know, they wrote a cookbook, 101 Ways to Eat Manna, amen? But it wasn't enough for them. They rather had been a slave in Egypt eating leeks and garlics and so on and so forth. And they were always choking. They were never satisfied. And many times when they came to Moses and Aaron and they would complain, the Bible says that Moses fell on his face. Moses fell on his face. Moses went to God, said, God, how many times in them 40 years that God says to Moses, I'm going to wipe them out. I'll start over with just you and Aaron and Joshua and Caleb. I'm going to wipe them out. And Moses said, no, blot me out before you blot them out. He interceded for the people. Took a whole generation to die off and they were able to go into the promised land. A lot of funerals in the wilderness, a lot of funerals. And I believe God used Moses because he was a humble man. Moses didn't have to be first. Amen. He didn't have to have preeminence. You know, I just went to a memorial a week ago yesterday. And, you know, and I'm a preacher, man. I watch things, you know what I mean? And it's just sad sometimes when you go to a funeral and stuff. It's a lot of people don't make it about the family. They make it about themselves. I kind of have a little running joke on that, you know. A lot of people want to be the bride at every wedding, the baby at every birth, and the corpse at every funeral. And sometimes I get frustrated with people. I just say, man, this ain't about you. It's about that family right there. It's about the man of God that served for 19 years in his church that he just pastored, and God took him home suddenly. Ain't about us. And when we realize that, we're able to get out of our box. And I'm telling you, as a man and as you get older, Dale, I'm telling you, we have the propensity to get on this legacy thing. You say, well, I'm not like that. I don't know. I find myself like that. Like, man, I want to do thus. I want to do so. Hey, man, I just talked to my brother in Arizona. And, man, I felt like saying, brother, come on, man. He was talking about, man, you don't realize, man, I'm gonna get more hits on YouTube with my race car. I'm thinking, what are you doing? And you know, I love my brother, and I'm gonna go see him here soon. Amen. I love him to death, you know. But if we're not careful, we won't be humble. Amen. We will say and do things that really will circle back to make us the hero of the story. I have a joke with my kids. When I get out of line, they'll adjust me because I work with my two younger kids and they work part-time within my construction business. And I have a little trophy. It's called King of the World. And it's a trophy that you gave me. It was like the great man trophy. And it's a trophy. It's a gold trophy. So if I get too big on myself and I start bragging about my texture or something, Dale, you know, how, man, you know, there aren't very many people know how to do that kind of texture, right? And pretty soon they'll whip out that King of the World. They'll go in the truck, they know where it's at, and they'll say, okay, hey, stop. And then they'll start clapping, and they'll say, here, come and get your award, right? And we all laugh and everything, but they're right. They're right. You know. I'm telling you, this flesh, Paul wrote half of the Bible. Amen. And I'm telling you, if any man could stand up and say, I'm something, it would have been him. But what did he say? He says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, right? But against spiritual wickedness in high places. He says, if we walk in the flesh, we will fulfill the desires of the flesh. But if we walk in the Spirit, we'll fulfill the desires of the Spirit. Told the Galatians, whatever you sow, you're going to reap. If you sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap of the Spirit life everlasting. But if you sow to the Spirit, if you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap the things of the flesh. And I'm telling you, it is just a constant daily battle. Amen. And if we're not careful, we'll make this Christian experience and this life where God wants to use us to change the life of those around us, we will not make it about others. We'll make it about us. And we got to be careful. One of the greatest things on that memorial a week ago was all the people's lives that were touched by Jim Z. It was humbling. It was humbling. Hey, I'm going to say this. He wasn't just a great pastor. He was 10 years my younger, and he was one of my mentors. That tells you how God used this man in my life, personally. Amen? And not just that, and not just that he was a great Christian. I mean, that was evident that he was a great Christian. But he was just a genuine, super human being. He was the type of guy that when if you were in a room with him and he was talking to you and the room was full of people, he'd make you feel like you were the most important person in that room. And I'm telling you, honestly, I think, Lord, why'd you leave an old rotten guy like me on this planet and take such a good person like that? And I don't understand the ways of God, and I'm not going to pretend to try to figure that out. Amen? I know one thing's for sure. Jimmy Zeke is in glory, and he wouldn't come back for anything. So you pray for him, pray for his family. Amen. It's a tremendous verse. To do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with thy God. I would keep tearing through this, and I'm not, because I really do want to take this point by point. Please take your outline home and you could study it. But our next point that we'll start on, and unfortunately we will not be able to do it next week, but the following week we will be looking at a framework for biblical justice. Framework for biblical justice. And if you really would like to have one of these books, just take one. You know, you say, no, I want to buy it. Well, they're $10, but if you don't have that, then just take one. They're on the back table. But I want God's word to change me, amen. I'm going to be honest with you. There were certain verses that I like to quote to myself throughout the week, and there was a time that I would quote this verse to myself during the week, and moreover when I memorized it, but it's been a while. So I'm kind of going on a Micah 6:8 revival, amen? Amen, amen. Father, we just thank you. We thank you for your people. We thank you for this time together. We thank you for your holy word. We thank you, Lord, that no matter what's going on in the world with all the junk, nationally and globally, Lord, that we have you. And Lord, help us to remember, Lord, that it doesn't matter what others are doing, what others are saying, what others are thinking. We don't know what they're thinking, but Lord, help us to be captured by you, O God, and help us, Lord, to do justly. Help us, Lord, to love mercy. Help us to be a merciful people. Help us to help the oppressed and the poor. Help us to see people get saved, Lord. And Lord, help us to walk in humility. Lord, help us not to make it about us, but about others. Lord, we love you, Jesus, and we thank you for this time, and we do pray, Lord, as we have this time of invitation, that you would do your work. In your name, Christ, we pray. Amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed and no one looking around, if you'd like to just do business with God, there might be something that the Lord touched your heart with. And you need prayer, you need to come. There's some coming. You just come on.